I'm Ed Wilby, and I've been invited to talk about a few things associated with
like
what an inclusive, sustainable future looks like and what are some of the unlearnings that's needed.
I
appreciate Sue wanting to hear my understanding because I've been involved with looking at how to create ecological cities which incorporate ancient wisdom and combine it with practices Western society and culture has incorporated to create a more preferred future model that's more nurturing, not only for humans living in the environment, but the environment itself and seeing the connectedness. So part of my understanding of what an inclusive, sustainable future is about creating ecological cities that not only satisfy human needs, but also satisfies the needs of our natural environment, be it the trees, animals, the water kingdom, and so forth. And part of what has inspired me are people like Paul Downton and Richard Register, who back in the early 80s and 90s have decided this is something that we as a species, or to become responsible caretakers of this planet, we have to understand the needs, not only of ourselves, but the natural environment. And so ecological cities, the understanding of what do they compose of, is looking at obviously all the natural elements like food, shelter, clothing, but also to look at what kind of space do we need to live on in a way that will not negatively impact on our natural environment. And that's the term ecological footprint sort of evolved out of that research and study. Lucky for us, we do have a very clear understanding of what that impact is. And this is a future that looks at, you know, human needs can be satisfied and habitat can should be able to live on land less than 10%. The natural habitat corridors are established to enable the native plants and animals not only to survive but thrive, and also to allow the wetlands and natural river courses, the natural trees that are relevant or indigenous to the bioregion, is a very important element of that, because the bioregion's effects not only the native flora and fauna, but also the people who live there and the languages. And this is something which that was raised to me earlier, that we really need to understand the language of the place that we live in. And so that's also an element of being a more inclusive society, is to appreciate the indigenous people and the wisdom and culture that they have established over thousands of years. Some say it goes back 70,000, even further. This understanding to enable them to work in balance and harmony with the natural environment, not only did they survive, they thrive, and they created a more embracive understanding with the land, with Mother Earth. And this is something I think we in the Western culture has lost, this understanding. So I'm working on projects that are aiming to help reestablish these understandings, and in particular communities who can understand and appreciate the spiritual elements that our Aboriginal brothers and sisters have reestablished, or in the process of reestablishing this understanding, such that they can share this knowledge with those who are willing to listen. And these are the people I'm associated with, the community, like a couple of communities I'm involved with, who are looking at the spiritual side of this and putting into practice the values and the vision that's associated with creating such a balanced and harmonious culture. Part of this culture is understanding what being nurturing is all about, how we can nurture ourselves and appreciate our own gifts, and in a way that we can then learn to nurture our natural environment in the same manner. And we have a lot to learn from our, like I said before, our Aboriginal brothers and sisters, to be able to put into practice. And this is the key element. So part of the element is learning how to connect through the heart with the natural environment, Mother Earth, and whatever terms that you're aligned with, so that we can connect with ourselves, and using this understanding of the heart rather than the head, because the head is more about the logical, practical processes. So for me, part of the unlearning is to understand what the head is about. And the head is a very good tool that we can use to put into practice or into the doing what our heart truly is connected with. And that's looking at the caring, compassion, joy, happiness, fun, laughter, all those elements that are love-based and nurturing. And so that our doing creates the villages, the cities, the food production, everything, you know, how we resource our water, our energy, in a way that has a not a negative impact on our natural environment, but one that enhances it. And then through that appreciation, we'll be able to create a more harmonious and balanced environment. So part of this unlearning that we have to go through is learning to use our heart in our connection in a manner that it can instruct our mind, which is a tool that we can use to create the external world in such a way that our doing reflects what is really in our heart. And so that's been my path, and the people I want to link in with, or that I have linked in with, understand this. And so the aim is using all our skills in a manner that can help bring about the types of projects, be it educational, be it communities, be it technology that needed in order to satisfy our needs in a way that doesn't impact in a negative way and towards the bioregion that we live in, and then to appreciate the language that is important, that resonates with this bioregion, and to be able to focus on producing the foods that, again, relate to the particular bioregion we live in, and the seasons and all the elements associated with what makes a healthy natural environment, like the flora and the fauna and so forth, is to appreciate what their needs are. So that means not only do we all have to understand and study the native plants and animals and ourselves, and also the Aboriginal culture, but is to embrace the knowledge and the ancient understanding of what would create a more nurturing environment. So that's what's inspiring me at the moment, and it's an important element of this, the work that you're doing in terms of getting the stories of our brothers and sisters of this Aboriginal culture, the Kaurna people, the stories associated with what makes a healthy environment in the bioregion, and how we can put that into practice. And this is something that I'm hoping I can contribute towards. And a lot of healing has to be taken, I think, it's a critical step in that, is not only healing ourselves so that we can come to an understanding that what direction do I want to go? Mm. Is it the love-based one, the caring, compassion, nurturing one, or is the fear-based one, which a lot of us have embraced because that's the Western culture. It's based on fear and all the elements, whether, you know, we feel that we have to use force to bring about change. So we create the defense force, the police force, the type of elements that disempowers people to a point where we feel that someone else is responsible in order to bring about the change that's needed.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, where really we are responsible, us as individuals, and it's too much for one person.
It doesn't take
force. No. It's too much for one person, too much even for a group. You need communities of people coming together, forming alliances for whatever element that you're passionate about, because that's the direction that comes from your heart, and your heart will guide you, and so that we can then use our collective minds to be able to create the experiences and through our doing that will transform our world that we live in.
So, well, that's a really good place to end that, Ed. I think
yeah.
That's perfect.
Well, thank you, Sue, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Sam.